to 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel means, what does Ezekiel mean? Ezekiel. El is God. So what does Ezekiel signify? Strength. All right? God will strengthen. First of all, he strengthens individuals. I want to emphasize that again. He strengthens individuals. Individual righteousness is what God wants of every one of us. Amen. Second of all, he strengthens also the church so that we may love one another, not just our church, our congregation, but all Christians. And so the second thing God wants is a mature bride. Bridal is always plural. So the bride is not the individual, but it's all the individuals that make up or constitute the church. So those two, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That's your personal righteousness. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's our corporate duty, calling, responsibility. So the first thing is individual responsibility. Everyone is responsible to worship God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. I'm going to teach that today out of the 34th chapter. What God wants for his people is that we keep the law. But we don't keep the law. So that the law that we keep, we don't keep. So he has given us a law so that you'd realize you can't. The reason he gave that law was to realize you can't. So the law is different than human laws. It's different than even the natural law. You can't keep any law. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. So God has a higher law, the gospel. So if you read the Old Testament and see its law, Torah, the Torah has lots of definitions, but one thing it means is teaching or instruction or God giving you not only being born again, how you're born, but also giving you how to kill your soul, crucify your soul daily, but also being able to walk in newness of life. Since Jesus does it all, he has the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and meekness, and self-control, self-government. So you're able to do all of these things because you don't do any of them. None of them. You didn't create yourself. You didn't justify yourself. You didn't sanctify yourself. And you can't perfect yourself. All of that is done by God. So it's a piece of cake. That's the exchange God made for us in his first coming, not the second. First coming. It's the difference between those two. In the first coming, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In the second coming, he will come back as our bridegroom. He's Lord right now. He's Lord right now because he was Savior. So he's Savior in order to lord you, in order to perfect you and marry him as the bride, which has no spot, no wrinkle, no such thing. 4, 5, and 6. All I'm talking about is 4, 5, and 6. That's the perfect person. That's your life. Right there is your life. The Bible, the Word of God, is designed to kill your psychology. I'm going to say that again because you may not understand what I just said. I don't preach what you want to hear. I preach what you need to hear. Your will is filled with flesh. It's a flesh, humanistic, man-made will. You want your will. But the solution is, not my will, but thine be done. So, in chair four, your faith is in Jesus Christ, and your faith is not in your will. You don't have any self-confidence because you're a sinner. How many know that God only saves the ungodly? So you have to be ungodly. So the reason he says you're a sinner is because you can do nothing about it. Nobody here has ever lived a holy life. None, 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 none. Except if you're a pastor. That was a joke. So, since no one lives a holy life, no one, no one, then how do you get holy? Oh, it's easy, by faith. But that's only the beginning. That's the foundation. So it kills the will. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus came to show us the Father's love. That's how love begins. It's all love, love, love. And you'll end up with love in the end. Chair six is love, joy, peace, patience. All of them are works of love. None of them you can do. None of them. So the Jewish people and the Catholic people and most Protestant people are all in the flesh. All you can do with being under a law is fulfill the flesh. That's it. You're guilty. Everyone is guilty. And God wants you to be guilty so that every mouth will be stopped. And every tongue, be quiet. You need instruction from God. Now, believing that Jesus died on the cross is easy. That's your lounge chair. You just sit in that. Lay back. Because it's easy to believe, because faith cometh by hearing, it's easy to believe that Jesus died for you, because it says so. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even want it. You don't have to do anything. Just read. And if you read it objectively, it's from outer space. It's not from this world. It's not in this world. So you have to have this other life, Jesus, living your life for you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. I preach this every week. I've preached this every week since I've begun. But that doesn't mean it's so simple that you can miss it. You can miss. Because I would say, this is just my own opinion, I would say most ministers are not preaching what I'm about to preach. And that's because they don't understand you don't do anything. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So you enter into his rest because he lived your life before the foundation of the world. He lived your personal life before the foundation of the world. And all you have to do is hear that and then say, yeah, that sounds good to me. I believe that. That's faith. You just believe the bare word, not a rhema, not some experience, not some magic from somewhere. You just read the word. And if you read the word, it convicts you. Later on, you'll have an experience, because once you have faith, once you believe the word, not Jesus, believe the word of Jesus, the one that's written down now in a book, just like the Old Testament was written down in a book. And that written word always refers not to itself. You don't believe the Bible. You believe the words of the Bible refer to the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, who is active in love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. So, since your faith is not in the Bible itself, the Bible can't save you, but it has the words of God, the instruction, the Torah, the teaching, how you should live your life to arrive at perfection number six. Or I could have seven and eight, but it's just enough to just say six today. You'll be perfected individually to worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, but you don't do it. He actually does it in you. But to do that, he has to go from four, don't skip five, to six. You have to die in five. You have to die. How many know that it's not easy to die? I don't know why. It's just difficult for people to die. They resist it because your psychology takes over and says, I don't want to die. But everybody doeth die sooner or later. So when you die, best thing that ever happened to you in Christ. So in Christ is all three of those. That's salvation. Right there is salvation. That's redemption. That's the whole atonement. That's the whole offering. You. Right there. You believe he died on the cross for you. His death, his blood covered your sins. So you don't need to do one and two. You repent and think this way, that this is your new life in Christ. So you believe that Jesus Christ died for you. So he says, after you believe in him, take up your cross. Now, I took up my cross for you to forgive all your sins. That's the mercy of God. So the mercy of God is easy because instead of throwing the whole book at you, giving you the full weight of the law, he mitigates, he changes that, he modifies his anger, his wrath against sin, because God hates sin. Hates sin, hates. But he loves sinners. And the only people he wants to save are ungodly people. So I thank God you're all ungodly. I wouldn't be a good pastor if you weren't. So I'm good because I love ungodly people. Love them. I don't want any other kind of people than ungodly people. I know right here is one. Ungodly people.
Amen.
So ungodly is, and I'll give you Jesus saying, I did not come for the righteous. I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners, ungodly, who repent. So repent does not mean stop sinning. Everyone thinks it does. Start doing what's right. It doesn't mean that at all. You don't do anything that God has already done. You don't do anything that God has already done. Before the foundation of the world, before there even was a world, Jesus Christ lived your life, Tommy, your life, Retrice. But he lived it perfectly. Perfect sacrifice. So God sent him into the world to show us God's perfect love, which is, I want you to not only believe on me, I want you to take up your cross until you're dead to yourself, dead to selfishness, dead to this world, dead to Satan, dead to the law, dead to Satan, dead to everything that is humanistic in this world. Man is not the measure of all things. I have degree after degree after degree. Worthless. I was not a Christian the whole time I was in school. All I wanted was to have enough weapons, and I planned to get 7 degrees to have more than anyone else I knew. I knew a Jesuit who had 5, so I thought, maybe he'll get another one. I'll try to get 2 at a time. So I'll try to get him 2 at a time. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying that I knew my mind was clear. I was a rotten, no good sinner. And I had no confusion about that. However, if God could save me, he could save anybody. Glory. Even David. Glory. It's possible. Even clay. That is really miraculous. But it's possible. Anybody here, if you're ungodly, you have to realize he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care whether you're good or bad. In fact, I wish you were cold or hot, but not lukewarm. So if you're trying to finesse this, if you're trying to figure out how I can be both at the same time, it's not possible. So God has no words to say to those except repent. Repent actually means change your mind, which means metanoia. Meta is like metamorphosis and so on and so forth. Change, and then what? The nous, the mind. So metamorphosis actually means, and it corrects, penitentium agite in the Latin, which was the Vulgate version. And Penitentium Agate says, do penance. Ah, so there you had to do it. The Catholics always believed, I don't know where they are today, they always believed that you did the good works and God accepted you. And if you didn't, you went to hell. That's it. Simple. But Luther changed that in 1516. He had a conversion. And he was a doctor. He had already earned his master's degree and doctorates and so on and so forth. So he was a teacher of the church, in the Catholic Church. And he said, I've been reading the Bible, especially Paul, and I realize that penitentium agite is not the word for repent. That's Latin, but it's wrong. This is the true word, because he also had studied Hebrew. And Hebrew says nacham, N-A-C-H-A-M. Nacham is comfort yourself. Tell the Jewish people that her warfare is over. Tell her that her sins have already been forgiven. Period. This was 700 years before chapter 40, Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus. And he already said, tell her sins are over. How many know that when Jesus dies on the cross, everybody's sin is over? Everybody's. I mean everybody's. He's an exchange from heaven to earth to show you that God has already forgiven everybody's sin. So sin is not your problem. It's what you do after you sin. If you do good works, you made Jesus worthless, in vain, of no value. So if you do good works, it shows you didn't believe his first coming. Therefore, you will not be prepared as a bride without spot, wrinkle, stain, blemish, or anything. So if you try to reach chair 6 by skipping chair 5 because it's suffering, if you try to skip that, you'll never get there. You'll stop at 6, you stop at 4, and you'll go back to 1 and 2. Whether you're an open sinner or you're a hypocrite, pretending like you're not sinning when you're always sinning. Amen. Because anyone under any laws that you make up, God makes up, any laws, whatever, natural, supernatural, it doesn't matter what kind of laws he's given you, nothing is made perfect under a law. In other words, if there's force, if there's compulsion, if there's someone demanding of you to do something, you've missed God entirely. God is not a demander of anything anywhere on the earth. He is a supplier of all your needs according to his riches and glory. So if you don't know that God is a loving Father, he has never been and never will be, never been and never will be an angry judge. He never intended for the law to be kept by anybody, Jewish, natural, anybody. And no one ever has. Anyone who has a conscience, and everybody does, anyone who has a conscience, by the time you're 2 years old, you've already violated your conscience. Any time that a child says to you, no, you've already violated your conscience. Because conscience knows one thing, that's wrong. And the child knows it. If I had a two-year-old here, I'd just ask that two-year-old, did you sin today? And then they'll go, well, I pinched my sister, you know, or whatever. They didn't clean their room or whatever, whatever they do. So everybody is aware from the time they start that they've sinned all the time. So it never was an innocence time. Even though they're sleeping, they look innocent. But as soon as they wake up, as soon as they come out of the womb, but they should say, Mom, how can I help? They should say, I'm here. I'm trying to put things together. But none. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everyone was born, but you're born after Adam and Eve. After Adam and Eve had a choice. You don't. You don't. You can never choose to be good. You can never choose to be good. Now, you could say right now, Pastor, I know you're talking about me. That would be a good thing if you do that. Does anyone here want to volunteer? I'm ungodly. But by faith, I'm godly. I am ungodly, but by faith, I'm godly. That's the only way you can do it. Because it's by faith, just bare word. You don't have to have rhemas. You don't have to have any special something or other. So the rhema teaching is false. You need a rhema. You need this word to come alive. Yeah, but you don't control that. God does. You don't control God. God will not be controlled. And God wants you not to do anything because he's already done everything before the foundation of the world. And since Jesus has come, now there's the Antichrist trying to get everybody to be psychological. Do you ever notice that psychology has now dominated our world today? Anywhere, Russia, I don't care where you go. It's all, you know, sociology is the same thing. It's kind of like the science of something or other. And it used to not be, psychology was never taught in the ancient world. Never. The king came and raped your daughter. That's it. It's just a deed done. He has divine right, so he can be a pope. He can be anyone he wants to be. And you didn't have any power. You had no defense. If you did it, you were wrong. And so in the medieval world, the pope and the emperor had all the power. And they duked it out to see which one would end up with all the power. And after the Reformation, that thing was wounded. Wounded. Because they were all humanists. I don't know if you know, Renaissance and Reformation come at the same time. Only the Renaissance produced something that the Reformation got into the papacy. And so everyone that Erasmus taught was a humanist. Calvin, humanist. Even though he's a Christian, he tried to mix it. They tried to mix Aquinas with something else, or Plato with something else. And ever since the foundation of Jesus Christ, within a couple of years, the pure religion was gone. And it didn't get restored for over 1,000, much more, over 1,000 years. Depends on how you terminus that. How does it begin? How does it end? But they're over 1,000 years. So this book is, and you could read any book in the Bible, they all say the same thing. That's why if you fall asleep during this sermon, it doesn't make any difference. Because I'll say the same thing next week. I just changed the character, and this will be Abraham, and this will be Moses, and so on and so forth. It's always the same. So go ahead and sleep. I mean, right there, Bill. He's already sleeping right there. And his wife just, get up. This is about you. Listen to that. So now she doesn't have to do that. So God wants you to know this religion is so easy because it's true. It's so easy because all you have to believe is that Jesus Christ, his words were God's words. He brought those words from heaven to earth. And not only talked about it, proclaimed it, but effected it, made it happen. So you can see that's love. And Jesus suffered, but his suffering is not suffering, like being on the cross. That wasn't what was suffering. Jesus suffered not because he suffered. He suffered because he saw heaven and then realized on earth there wasn't any. That's suffering. When you've seen heaven, you know what's right, what's true. It's in heaven. Everyone in heaven is always doing the Father's will. His will is done voluntarily by everything in heaven. And the bad angels, they already were cast down to earth. They used to inhabit the mid-heavens. Then he was cast down because the demons and so on and so forth needed a place to go. So God said, I don't want to hear any more reports from you. You're being cast down to the earth. So Jesus Christ, at the same time, is going to make that our future inheritance. Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. So the mid-heavens, that is, not the highest heaven, singular, heaven of the created heavens, plural. So the heaven above the heavens, that's why he says his throne is above the heavens. Because it's heaven. Wherever God is, heaven. Wherever God is. Do you know where God is today, Tommy? Where?
Third heaven.
He is. He's also in your heart.
Amen for that.
Yeah. He's also in your heart. So, since that's the case, since he's in your heart, because the Spirit. And he came to give all the flesh people, chair one and two, which aren't up there. But chair one and two is how you can sin, openly or hypocritically. It doesn't make any difference. All of that is sin. It's actually the same chair. But it's just one's lying and the other was not. Most wicked people are not lying. They like being wicked and they love being wicked and so on and so forth. I was one of those. But now that I've become a Christian, just like that, I suddenly fell in love with Jesus all the way. As I served Satan, so now I serve, but I didn't even know I was serving Satan. I didn't even believe in him. I didn't believe in heaven, hell. I didn't believe in anything. Because I came up in the generation where God was dead. Last part of the 19th century, they began to preach that and teach that. But by the time I went to school, all the denominations became humanized. And man become the measure of all things. But, however, that happens to disagree with God. God is the measure of all things and nothing else. And Jesus is a mediator between God and you. And now Christ is in you, so you have an inner voice because the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. You can't observe it. You can't see it. The kingdom of God is nothing you can see. So everything that man does is seeable. All of his emotions, all of his mind, all of his will is always on things below. Jesus said, set your mind on the things that are above. In other words, get rid of the flesh. So, this chair, four, destroys your will. Not my will, but thine be done. This chair, five, is your mind. While you're going through troubles and problems, your mind says, escape, get rid of it, take a pill, get on drugs, do something. You got to do something to save yourself, to escape this world. The only way you can escape this world is by death. So it'd be good if you died in Christ. Did you know if you die in Christ, it's not talking about physical death, it's talking about psychological death. Psychological death is not real. You didn't change anything. So psychologically, you can be depressed, but you're depressed over nothing. But people take that seriously today because we're a psychological world. Everyone escapes responsibility because psychology offers you a way out. Oh, you're just normal. Could I read the abnormal? And so there's abnormal psychology and psychology, which is an oxymoron. The psychology is humanistic, therefore it's worthless. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to make it even more clear. It's witchcraft. Yeah. Satanism. Period. So your mind has to, chair five, your mind has to be destroyed by being discipled by Jesus Christ, coming under his instruction, his Torah, his teaching, which he lives in love. Love, love, love. So that after you die, you live. You're born, chair four, to die, chair five, so you can be resurrected, chair six, in this world. Not in the world to come. In this world, you can already, by your life, affect others. Now, how many know that what I just described is faith, hope, and love? Faith, hope, and love. Faith is that I have faith in something unseen, Jesus Christ. I can't see him. I don't know about the Father. I don't know about the Trinity. I don't know about anything. It's just words written in a book. So the written word is referring to something that no one can see. No one has ever seen heaven. None. Not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody has failed. Everybody has failed. All have sinned. All sounds like all. If all is all, then I'm included in the all. So everyone here is a sinner by natural birth. But it isn't natural. It's not natural. Actually, in your nature is actually the law of God, the natural law. And it's written on your heart. God with his signature writes on everybody that's conceived, this one is mine. This one belongs to me. This one's mine. This one is mine. This one is mine. That one. Everybody's heart knows that. And he gave you a conscience that knows when it's violated and when you follow it. So if you follow your conscience, that's safer. But if your conscience is educated in chair 5, you actually realize that what Jesus did for me, I could do also if I take up my cross daily and follow. So since everybody's conscience is violated early on, as soon as they learn to talk and walk and so on and so forth, they know how to say it. And I love it when little kids just go like this. No. You're going to bed right now or you're going to be spanked. I don't want to. Okay, you're going to be spanked. That is rebellion. That is rebellion. And every little kid in the world does it. How come my sister gets to say up? She's 18. You're 2. And they're mad. You can't, spanking won't even do it. You can spank them all you want. They still go to bed mad. Anyway, God has rigged the world so that you cannot win. He has rigged the world so that you cannot win. Your good deeds will cover nothing. There are no good deeds. Jesus is the only one that doeth all things. So your good deeds is a misnomer because they're not yours. They're just Jesus. He is the love of God. Unconditional. We have conditional. He has unconditional. He is the joy of your life. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is all from heaven. Every word, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those are heavenly words, not earth. Nobody on earth can produce that kind of unconditional love. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Jesus. He's the only one. He came down and had that unconditional love, even his enemies. Even his enemies were attracted to him. The Pharisees were waiting to trap him in something because they knew we can get him if we just get him to talk and say something. Maybe we'll catch him, just like they're trying to catch Trump. How many know you thought Bill Clinton was clever? He is clever. Well, it depends on what is. It depends on how you define that. So everything is a matter of definition, because every word can be perverted by a misunderstanding. Now, I'm an expert at that. I mean, I have degrees in that. I do. But that didn't help, because I was no match for Jesus Christ. He said he was after me and died for me, and I didn't believe that at all. I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to be a Christian. Now I am. And I fell in love right away. I mean, in an instant, I fell in love with him. And I want now, my whole life is just serving Jesus as a slave. I have no will of my own. Not my will, but thine be done. That takes care of the will. Then every thought I have to be captive to the Word of God. I have to take it to the Word of God. Say, God, is this what you're thinking? This is what I think, but is this what you're thinking? It wants to destroy your mind, because your mind will not get you to heaven. Your will not get you to heaven, and your emotions will not get you to heaven. So, half of you are emotional. That is, your emotions are justified by your mind, which is what you want. It's not the other way around, where what you want is what then the mind agrees with, and then your emotions are quiet. It's the opposite. For most people, they're agitated. Everyone has anxiety attacks. I've never had one. I didn't have it as a pagan. I was a willing pagan. I loved being pagan. I didn't even know what it meant, but whatever it is, I'm that. If they'd have said Antichrist, I'd have said, I want to be that. Whatever I want to be is king of the world. Has anyone had that? I know a few of you have. Have you wanted to be king for a day or maybe a year or month or less of your life? Yes, everyone thinks they're brilliant. Everyone. I don't care how the world judges it. Everyone has that kind of mind, will, emotions. So psychology is witchcraft, period. Now, I'm not going to write a book on that. Why? Because no one believes that. And did you know the whole Bible is designed to kill your psychology? That is, that you have another God, another gospel. That's not the true gospel. So people think, if only I had my way, I'd be happy. That's funny. Did you get married? Did you have a friend? They'll betray you after a while. You can't count on anybody. You can't. Have you tried that, Latrice? He's no good. He's not any good. But Jesus Christ has renewed him. Amen. Now you have the perfect husband.
Amen.
You couldn't have a better husband. That's all without seeing it. You can't have. Who is blind but my servant, the Bible says. Who is blind but my servant? What that means is you don't look. You look at the unseen world through the Bible, not the seen world. Otherwise, you're going to make a mistake. So Trump is not a wonder worker. He's just doing ordinary stuff. He's just saying, that doesn't seem right to me. Because he has a conscience. He used to buy everything for 10 cents on the dollar. So he became a billionaire. And billions and billions and billions. How he did that was to manipulate the market. And he learned, you know, all the billionaires talk. I don't know if you know that. They know each other. They're a small group. But they actually think they can buy countries and, you know, manipulate currencies and so on and so forth. Because they have a lot of state power, which none of us have. I didn't think there's any billionaires in the church. Am I mistaken? I don't think so. If you just relax and be yourself, God died for you. That's all. He did die for you. Are you better than anybody else? Same. When you're little bitty kids, and I was, I used to say something like this. Well, I'm telling the truth. And they said, how do we know that? I based that on a whole stack of Bibles. How many? 10,000. I believe 20,000. Okay, well, 25,000. So little kids can't prove anything because they just argue and it's the one who's toughest that wins. That's all. Or whatever. Now, this world is designed not to work without God. This world is designed not to work without God. This world is designed. I mean, there's no one ever can gainsay God, argue against him and win, or thwart his purposes. No one. Everything God has planned to do, he will do in time before the heaven and the earth. There won't be a new heaven and earth until he fulfills every promise he made in that Bible. All. He has to do it. So anything that he ever promised, you can rely on that. You can bank on that. You can say, and I do this. You can say, if God says it, then I need to read it, not by the letter of the law, which killeth Jesus. And Jesus wanted that. He said, Father, I always do what's pleasing to you. I want you to go down and you'll be among relatives. A lot of the Jewish people will take you in. Do I have to be Jewish? Yeah. But you'll be among relatives, and they'll take care of you. And so they crucified him. Anything you can't understand, kill. People are killers. They'll kill anyone that doesn't agree with them. There are people out there in the world today, Al-Qaeda, homosexual, I don't care what it is, they're going to force their way. They're going to figure out how the politics works. They're going to get a group together, take over a village, take care of, you know, a state, take over anything to try to fix the world the way they think will perfect it. Don't ever trust perfectible people, because no one is perfect except Jesus. This is our whole religion. So chapter 34 explains this so perfectly that this is salvation right there. That's perfection of you, perfect beings. You make up churches and you make up nations. So you have a mandate to not only be part of a church, but also a mandate to be part of the government. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be part of the devil's work. Well, even the church is the devil's work. How many know that? Yeah. Even the church is the devil's work. He actually can pervert pastors, evangelists. They're as corrupt as you can imagine. So you have to be very careful. Don't be deceived, the Bible says. Don't be deceived. That's one of the things, if you get an education, you do realize that a lot of the pastors are living double lives, triple lives, quadruple lives. You know, you don't really know what they're doing. And they can look nice and so on and so forth, but not. All have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. I mean, it just sounds like that includes all. And so you can't trust Billy Graham. Sorry. You can't trust the Pope. You can't trust nothing. Jesus. So everything that Christianity teaches is in the book. It's all there in the book. And you can just open the book at any point and just point your finger down, and it will say, don't, but it really means you can't. Or it'll say, do, and it really means you can't. So where you go? You can't do anything that only God can do. And if God does it, it's done. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's complete. It's completely been fulfilled. When he did that, he ended his first part of the mission. First coming, Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lamb of God for a burnt offering. Burn means getting all the burn out of your life. God doesn't want you to go through the fire. So if you die to Jesus, chair 5, if you die, you don't ever go through the second death, which is the lake of fire. You don't ever do that. It's impossible. It's impossible. God cannot lie. So once he says, if you believe in my words, what I'm saying, and have faith that these words relate to something real outside this world, if you believe that, then I will be with you forever and ever. I'll never leave or forsake you. Never. Wow. Does anyone have that faith that God will never leave you or forsake you? Yeah. You do? You do? You do? Yeah. That's powerful. I had a lady in the Dallas church today. She's always happy. And I pointed her out to the congregation. And she said, you know what it is? She was smiling. You know what it is? And she's, what, 80-some years, whatever. And she said, I have peace with God. But God didn't make you make the peace. He made the peace for you and gave it to you. And he did what you had to do. You couldn't do what he had to do, so he did it for you because he's a loving father. So God loves me. If you get that down, you got everything. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things. So he gives it to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, I'll give you everything else. So everything the Gentiles seek, you can have that. But don't seek it. Don't seek it. Just seek first his kingdom. First, 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 first. So the first thing in your life is to know Jesus. Who is he? Everyone was asking that question in the New Testament. Who is this guy? Is he just a carpenter? Or, you know, is he a good man? Or is he evil? Or what? Who is this guy? And when Jesus came into town on Palm Sunday, the Pharisees, the high muckety-mucks, they were on the top of the wall, and they went, my God, the whole world's gone after this guy. I mean, he needs to be killed. If this guy keeps going, he's going to get the whole world on his side. How many know that every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Every. Now, God, either lying or telling the truth. So if he's telling the truth, then every knee will bow. Muslims, Buddhists, witchcraft people, Satanists, they'll all bow. And they'll say, he's the Lord. Now, you can argue all day long, but your mind needs to come under the Word of God. It needs to submit to God. In the first one, you don't submit. The first one, you just believe the Word. In the second one, you submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Savior, Lord. Savior, chair 4. Lord, chair 5. Saviors destroy your will. Lord, destroy your mind. And the last one, number 6, that destroys your emotions. You cannot be run by your emotions. How many know that? I know we have probably 4 or 5 in this church that are run by their emotions. 1, 2, 3, 4. I only need 2 more. 5. You're pointing at each other. Okay. That's good. Can I get number 6? Thank you. Okay. I didn't know who they were, but now I know. All of us are run by our emotions. Anger, fear, lust, bitterness, jealousy, etc., etc., etc. Emotions are behind so many sins because you desire to be God. Did you know that? Is everyone aware of that? I don't want to be fully God. If I could just be God for an hour. Just can I get past this disease I have, or can I get past this problem I have? If I could just let me rule for once. Everyone wants to control everybody. Control freaks. I mean, everyone's a control freak. What God wants you is to give that up. Your emotions are liars. Your mind, liar. Your will, liar. They're all liars. Those are the idols that you have inside of you. There's nothing wrong with your will. There's nothing wrong with your mind. There's nothing wrong with your emotions. As long as your emotions are always happy. As long as your mind is always submitted to God. And as long as your will is always what God wants. That's it. That's obedience. That's exactly what the law says. So you did do it, but you did it through Christ. Christ did it for you, and then in you, and then through you. In, for you is 4. In you is 5. He works inside of your soul until it's dead. And then through you is he's loving others through you. And you get all the credit for that. You actually get eternal life for that. You actually get that he wants to marry you. Christ is going to have a bride, and you're part of the bride. Everyone in the body of Christ is not bridal. Everyone in the body of Christ is not bridal. So the bride is part of the body, but it's not the whole of the body. Some are lukewarm, some are cold, and so on and so forth. So you can be called Christian, body of Christ. Everyone is the body of Christ. That means you're ruled by heaven. But not everybody is ruled by heaven, because this is what heaven wants. It doesn't want you just to stop at believing. It doesn't want you just to stop at being discipled. He wants you to stop right here at 6 until you're perfected in love. Faith is gone. Hope is gone. As soon as Jesus comes back, second coming, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he comes back as a bridegroom to marry his bride. Give Israel back her land. The whole land, all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way up to Damascus, all the way down into deepest, darkest Africa. All of it. It used to be called Ethiopia, by the way, which means black in Hebrew. So Ethiopia is actually another word for Africa, because it's the land of Mitzrayim, which means Egypt. Mitzrayim is Egypt. But they came from the same ancestral home, which is up in Uganda, which is why I go. I go there because witchcraft started there and filled the whole earth. It's just nothing but Baal. It's nothing but Baal. There's only two religions in the world, Baal and Christianity. Baal and Christianity. There's no other religions. Buddhism is just part of that. Hinduism, just part of that. Islam is just part of that. And you might be surprised where the Antichrist comes from.
The North. Russia.
Good guess. Wrong. The Antichrist comes from the ancient animosity toward Israel. Where does it come from? Ancient. So it's called today, we would call it in the Bible, Esau. Mount Seir. Edomites. So the Antichrist will make a bargain with somebody else. The Antichrist today could be someone that's alive. I'm sure they're alive. And it could be happening soon. And you need to know how it's going to all end up. Is you're either going to be resurrected to salvation or resurrected to damnation. I just want to tell you how to skip all of that. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll have eternal life.
Amen.
But in order to do that, it means believe on the living God, not just the written God. The living God that's talking about, who is active in love, that takes you through death to resurrected life. So your resurrected life is possible on the earth. You can be a lover and start with your own family. Start with your own family. If you can love your mate, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. How many have realized that? I mean, it's a miracle. You just can't. Marriage is designed not to work without Jesus. But with Jesus, it'll work. But you have to be mature. Because if you're immature, it won't work. Just being born again won't help you. This is true Christianity. This is the full gospel. Right there. Just nothing more. If you go from faith, then Jesus killing you, it's over. Is over. Just go those two, it's over. Because the last one is a free gift. The deeds are what he's going to judge. The deeds just prove that you're a Christian because you died. When you died, it was over. Because then Jesus does everything else. You give him all the glory on earth, as it is in heaven, all the glory. People see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. They won't glorify you because you did the good work, because they know you didn't. They know you must be a child of the living God. Anybody is ripe for that. Anybody is ripe. That's why I go all over the world. The reason I go all over is because I'm taking the scripture that says, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord for harvesters, because it's ripe. And so I can go to Muslim nations, I can go to Christian nations, I can go to Buddhist nations. I don't care where you go, Jesus Christ will be there. And you'll meet believers. Preach the gospel, live it. You have to live it. It's your walk is the problem. If your walk is not your garment, if the deeds that you did, your garment will find you bound hand and foot and thrown into utter darkness because you didn't come in clothed rightly for your wedding. What is your clothing? It's the good deeds of the saints. Only the saints. So you're a saint in chair four. If you continue to be chair five, die to yourself. If you continue then to be a lover of others, and men glorify the Father from whence they come. There's only one Father. There's only one God. There can't be 2, 3, 50 billion. There can't. That's just all humanist. That's all man at his best state. Man at his best state is altogether what?
Vanity.
Man at his best state. I mean, in best state, you're moral and you're nice and people like you. That is worst, for the Bible says. It's vain. It has no bearing at all on anybody going to heaven. So man at his best state. Some of you have tried real hard to be good Christians. Some of you have tried real hard to be good Christians. It's a little bit hard to be a good Christian, because only Jesus can do it. So you can't. So since only Jesus, you have to give him all the glory, because what he did for you, chair four, in you, chair five, till you're dead, chair six, then you're resurrected. You can experience resurrection life right now, today. Today you can be. You can say it like this: God, if there be any wicked way in me, I'm sure there's not, but if there was, could you please show it to me right now? God will answer that prayer readily. I mean, just anything. And he said, I don't care what it takes, because I'm willing to suffer anything to get that out of my life. Because I know right now you're dividing Israel from Israel, Christians from Christians, Gentiles from Gentiles. You're dividing the whole world into righteous and wicked. That's what he's doing right now. And only his own people will receive it. So only the Christians now are the target of God. He's not even talking to wicked people, not even talking to one of them, because their only hope is us. And if we're not righteous, no one is. Yeah. If we aren't Christians going all the way, you don't ask the question, how little can I do to get into heaven? That's not the question. The question is, what do you want? Not my will, but thine be done. Do you want us to go all the way? The answer is yes. I want you to go all the way, totally fall in love with me forever and ever and ever. How many know that unless Jesus does that, you probably won't? Unless Jesus does that, your marriage works. You know why? Jesus. You have to say it's Jesus, because otherwise you wouldn't make it.
Wouldn't have a long time ago.
Long time ago. You had everything going against you, which was your own psychology. You defeat yourself. People actually are hard on others if they're hard on themselves. So if you have any rules or any laws or any picture of a wonderful life, it's a wonderful life. If you have anything like that, it will be destroyed as soon as you get with people. There is no such thing as the perfect marriage, except one, Jesus. That's the only marriage that'll make it. Why? Because he picked you because you were ungodly. He picked you because you had nothing going for you. He said, I like that one. I like that one. I like that one. Because he's not a respecter of persons. So he just picks everybody. There's nobody that he rejects. Nobody. Anyone at any time. It's up to you. Anyone at any time. If you want to be with God, just read his word. That's all you can do. Just read his word. You can't make him come through, but he will always come through if you seek him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. There it is. Love God with all your heart. That's four. And all your soul. That's five. And all your strength. That's six. What is Ezekiel? God will strengthen. Individually, and then corporately. So what God wants is everyone to keep the law. How do you keep it? You don't. Jesus keeps it for you, and you believe by faith, because you can't see it. Faith means you can't see it. Faith means always. You cannot see it. Once you see Jesus, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. He wasn't just a Savior that died for us. He's also the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, is our bridegroom coming back, and then you will see him as he is, and he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Nobody here is pure right now. You're donum partum, you're not dotum totum. In other words, you haven't experienced anything like the kingdom of God yet. You're still on the tip of the iceberg. You're just barely doing this. But if you cling to it and don't let go of it, don't lose heart. Never be discouraged. Has anyone here ever had discouragement? That's because you don't have a cat or a dog. If you were discouraged, that's because you trusted in people. And the Bible is very clear. The mathematical center of the Bible is what? Where is it? It's right in the middle of the Bible. It's actually what? It's not 119. 118. Between 7 and 8. That's mathematically, that's half and that's half. So what it says in there, put not your trust in man, human beings. Put your trust in the Lord. Then the next verse, 8, says, put not your trust in princes. In other words, don't trust anybody that's a politician. Put not your trust in princes, even Trump. Don't put your trust in him. Because he's only there as long as the Lord leaves him there. But he could be killed at any moment. He can be impeached at any moment and so on. He's gone. So everything that he did would be reversed in a second. Man is not going to clean up this earth without God. So you better pray to God, hey, God, we're ready. We're a bride that's ready. We're ready. He won't listen to you, but you could pray that. You could pray that. At least he sees that you intended. And if you do it by faith, it's acceptable. Anything by faith is always acceptable to God. That's the salt. You're the salt of the earth. That earth can be salted by that faith, and it's acceptable to God. Anything apart from faith is sin. Anything by sin, if you sin, but then have faith in Jesus that he's forgiven you, forgiven all your sins, then you're a Christian and you just, by faith, pleased God. Totally pleased when he sees that. Now, it's a very simple message. That, no, it is. It's a very simple. But it's not lived. It isn't a matter of talking it. It's a matter of walking it. The only thing people look at is number 6. They do not look at your heart. They don't see it. They don't look at your soul. They don't see it. That's all secret stuff. The only thing that shows up is your behavior. All you can do is judge people by behavior. That's the problem with human judges. They don't see the heart. They don't know the motive. They don't know why it happened. They don't know anything. God sees the heart. At every minute of every second, he sees your heart. He knows exactly, this is the next sin I'm working on. This is exactly, I mean, he has it mathematically worked out. This is the sin that's in you. And as pastors, that's what we want, is to please him by hearing him. If you don't hear, you can't talk. You don't have anything to say unless you hear the living God day after day after day after day. And the only way you can do that is confess your own sins. When you confess your own sins, then you're able to get the speck or the twig out of another brother's eye. Otherwise, you'll have a log in your eye. You need to do logging first, and then after you remove the log from your eye, you can easily see the speck in your brother's eye. So it's hard for the church today to do it, but you know what? I just preached regardless. I just preached the end time message. This is what God wants, is a perfect church, a church where every individual is in love with Jesus Christ. Church, this is only his church. Every individual is righteous. Therefore, we pray for, bless forgive, love everybody else. Everybody else that's on this earth is ignorant of the truth that I just told you. That truth will be, and you can wait for it, you have to be patient, but in our day, in our time, everyone will be preaching what I'm saying. Why? Because it's God's agenda. God wants you to hear exactly what he's saying right now. Precise. It has to be exact. So, there's sin in the church today, idolatry. Does anyone have any idols in their life? Just one. You? Two? Three? Idol could be anything in this world other than God. That's an idol. Anything in the world other than God. Then there's fornication with kings of the earth. Church, state, combined. He wants them separated. All the problems we have with Muslims today are they want to come in, take over Dearborn, Michigan, etc., and take over right here. This is the biggest place right here. Fort Worth, Tarrant County. This is it. And so if you defeat this state, you never have an election again. This is all you need to reach the 270. And you got it all. You have New York, you got California, Texas, over. That's your 270. So this is the target for the enemy. And the Muslims are here to infiltrate, be sleepers. They're all. And they'll take over. Why worry about it? Why worry about it? Just do what God said. Fret not because of evildoers. Just do what God said. Worship God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That's what's missing in the church today. You have to be, this whole thing is salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification. All of that is redemption. All of that is the atonement. All of that. Jesus did all of that. And when he comes back a second time, we will be the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. How? You did it just by hearing. You didn't do it by any deeds. You didn't do the deeds. The deeds you're to do, he already did them. The deeds you're to do, you've already done them. So you're already perfect, Latrice. Isn't that amazing? You're perfect. Saint Latrice. I mean, it's amazing. Right? Well, she is. Am I right?
She's the best.
She is the best. So, Saint Trish. How? Because we're all saints. Why? Because we believe it's passive. It's passive, and Jesus is active. So the reading of the word is passive. I'm leaving something I can't see. But it's active because Jesus is active in love. So that's Jesus doing all the loving. You didn't do it. You cannot do it. He already did it. It's already been done. 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world. He already did everything. So all you got to do is walk in it. You don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. You have to be, the only qualification is that you have to be ungodly. If you're ungodly and you say every day, God, what sin are you working on today? You have my permission. Do whatever it takes. Now, God likes that. So if you prayed that today, could be sin in your life, and God could show it to you. God, I mean it. I'm serious. If you see anything in me or in my kids, I want you to share. And my grandkids. Grandkids are too hard. Crockett is the problem. How many know that God is good? God is good. He's good. His mercy is new every morning. Every morning. And really in the afternoon too. And then, and also at night also. I mean, it's always new. How many know God doesn't have an angry bone in his body? No, you're the body. You're the body. Did you know that heaven actually controls this whole world? And nothing is done without God's permission. So if he sees something happening and that he knows would destroy his world, he'll come down and visit that and destroy it. But he's left it be because he wants this to be Laodicea. Today the church is lukewarm. Don't change it. Leave it. Don't fret yourselves because of the homosexual agenda from humanism or whatever. Leave it. Just let it be. Do what God told you to do. Worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You'll find you won't get past that. If you worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength, He'll give you everything else. It's easy to love the neighbor as long as you love God with all your heart and soul and strength. So just do one thing, you got it all done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All right, Tommy, close in prayer.
Lord, help us to chair 4 and love you with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding in chair 5, and let you direct our path in chair 6, where people see us following you, letting you direct our steps, letting you love others through us instead of us thinking we're doing our own strength. Lord, we thank you for this message. Help us to get a hold of it, to walk it out, and when we miss it, Lord, help us to just go right back and start over and say, hey, forgive me, Lord. Show me where I went wrong. Help me to have a better understanding. Help me to renew my mind with the Word of God. So when the devil bombards me in chair 4, when I haven't chosen to move on, that chair 5, I'll be equipped and ready to defeat you, the enemy, to be glorious in chair 6. And that glory will be Jesus. And people will see it and want what we have in Jesus' name.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace that He wants you to have now. And may the Lord then bless and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.